is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Yoo-hoo, I'm home.
Well, hello, dear. You're late tonight.
That's a fine wifely greeting. I had a big clinic this afternoon.
And last week. Since all the children in this town are sick.
No, it's the time of the year. We could cut it in half if they'd eat right.
I'll take your coat, dear.
Feed a plant good nutrients and it'll grow. Kids are no different. Oh, where are ours?
Cynthia and Keith ate early. They've got a play rehearsal at school. Nancy isn't home yet.
Well, where is she?
Oh, who knows? That child. But I have got news. Who do you suppose I picked up at the station this afternoon?
Just the facts, ma'am.
Jim, didn't you ever play guessing games?
Yeah, I was always wrong. And who was it?
Kate.
Oh, great. Why didn't you bring her home? Isabel's gone into the city.
Apparently, Kate made up her mind on the spur of the moment. She didn't want to come with me. She said she was on her way to see Henry Slater. So I dropped her off at his house.
How does she look?
Oh, fine. A little thin, but smart. City looking.
Well, that's where her life is these days, Joy.
Well, I'm not sure it's agreeing with her. She sounded so distracted.
Joy, you like your family to stay just as it is, don't you? Even your grown-up little sister.
I suppose so, Jim. But I was glad to see her. I think she's the answer to our problem.
What problem?
Our big problem. Our eldest daughter.
Oh, Nancy.
I've just about come round to your point of view, Jim.
Which one? I seem to veer with the wind about that girl. It's funny, I can solve more kids' problems at the clinic when it comes to my own.
I think you've been right about Nancy. It isn't doing her any good to hang around like this in Bellhaven doing fill-in jobs.
Well, she's not happy, that's for sure.
Because she isn't doing anything useful. I certainly opposed her going to the city alone. But now that Kate's established herself down there...
What, you mean you want to send her down with Kate?
Send her? She was dying to go last fall. I was the witch of Bellhaven for not letting her.
Well, that was last fall, honey.
She certainly still wants to go.
I'm not sure.
Jim, you are exasperating. I come round to the point of agreeing with you and Nancy, and all of a sudden the rug's pulled out.
Well, I was thinking of Kate.
Kate loves her. Oh, Nancy would be wonderful company for her.
Kate has a pretty full life, I should imagine.
So much the better. Nancy would stay at the studio club, get a job, or take courses at the university. Jim, for heaven's sake, I'm agreeing with you now.
Talk it over with Nancy.
I don't have to. She hasn't got an interest here that would stop her.
Maybe not.
We'd know, wouldn't we?
Would we?
Jim, you're so cryptic or something tonight. Well, I thought you'd pat me on the back for this.
Anytime, honey. I think you're doing great. Just don't be surprised.
Surprised at what, Mom?
Oh, hi, dear.
Hi, darling.
When did you get in, Nancy?
I have been in. I was upstairs.
Oh.
But I didn't hear a word you said in case you were talking about me.
Your ego's coming along nicely, huh?
Ah, come on, Dad. You're always talking about me, you and Mom.
Well, you're a highly diversified subject.
What have I done now?
Nothing, darling.
Well, that's the real nitty-gritty, isn't it? Listen, if you must know, I wrote an article and gave it to David today for the paper.
Oh.
Kid you, darling.
Is he going to print it?
Oh, Dad, you go right for the jugular, don't you? How do I know? Hey, Mom, did you see Kate yet?
Yes, I met her at the station. I invited her to have dinner with us tonight.
Edith?
I thought you'd be delighted, Nancy.
I thought we could invite maybe, David, and we could talk about my article.
Well, it's not quite the way to talk business, is it, honey?
Yeah, okay. I'll go over to his office Monday, then.
Well, I tell you what. We'll invite him with Kate. I'm sure he'd love to come in back, Kate.
Oh, sure. He'd bring her then, wouldn't he?
It would work out beautifully. We'll have a little party, Nancy. I'll get a leg of lamb.
Dad?
Yes, darling.
Do I have to be here?
When?
With Kate and David.
I think so.
How soon afterwards can I go up the wall?
Do you want to talk to me, Nancy?
Yeah, I would. If there was anything to talk about.
Isn't there?
No, not a thing. Not one single little thing. My life is a great big hole without even a donut around it. Dad, I want to go away.
Well, then maybe we can...
But I really don't. Oh, Dad, how do I know what to do?
Nancy, are you in love?
Why would you think that?
Well, I'm just beginning to realize that I have a grown daughter.
I'm going to go help Mom. Maybe I'll run over after dinner and see Kate.
My dear, now that you finally decide to talk to me, maybe you'd better start at the beginning.
I just came to ask you one question.
That, dear Kate, is like a cage of crickets. Let one out and they all jump loose.
I don't want to go into the whole past again. I'm sick of it.
I don't blame you. But what you're asking is in the past.
I'm just asking one very simple thing. Now, Tom talked to you a great deal. I know he felt closer to you than to his own father or to me.
Not you, Kate. He loved you. He knew he had failed you. He used to sit in that very chair, sometimes not saying anything. Then he'd begin to talk. Sometimes he'd ramble. Then I knew he wasn't himself. But he needed to talk. I gave him my word I'd keep his confidences.
And you did, didn't you?
Well, I loved him like my own son. I even tried to keep everything that happened to him out of the paper against my own professional honesty. I have a bad conscience about that. But I never really regressed it.
Oh, Henry, I was very grateful, and so was Tom's father.
So now you want to ask me about something Tom said?
I just want to know if you ever heard Tom mention a place called Glory Point.
How did you come upon that, Kate?
Well, I was looking over some of Tom's old sailing charts. There it was on several of the charts of the Jamaica coast. Glory Point. On one chart, he even underlined the name.
But you were down there with him, my dear. Don't you remember it?
I don't remember ever docking at such a place. But then I almost always stayed aboard the boat. Tom rarely took me ashore, except in the big places. I just don't remember a place called Glory Point in particular.
Kate, why don't you let go of the past?
Oh, Henry, I would if the past would just let go of me.
There's something you're not telling me, Kate. Who stirred this all up for you?
Oh, Henry, I think you can guess.
Stephen Wolfe? Well, I knew he intended to make trouble when he showed up after his prison term. You should have come to me then.
What could you have done, Henry?
I'd have sent him packing.
Do you think that would have stopped him? He's even followed me on the street.
Is he trying to blackmail you?
No, it's different. He just keeps reminding me of what Tom did. That it's something ugly on my own record that just won't go away.
Kate, I think it's time for you and me to trust each other.
How can I talk frankly to you, Henry, when you won't talk to me? Now, I came here with a simple question about a place called Glory Point, but you say you gave Tom your word.
I gave it to Tom and to Arthur for the sake of the Wakefield name.
And I carry it now, like a weight. Doesn't that mean anything?
Kate, I have always believed that honor is a debt. Perhaps it should be paid not to the dead, but to the living. Tom and Arthur are gone from life. You, my dear, are here. So young, so alive. I think we all owe you something. Yes, Tom did talk to me about Glory Point.
And you remember what it was he said?
I shall never forget it. He talked as if it held some secret for him. He spoke of the sunrise and a place he'd stand to face the east. He said he must go back.
Did he say why?
He said, and I never forgot the strange look on his face. He said he had buried his soul at Glory Point, and that someday it would be the place of his atonement.
Did
Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Finalnet sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Finalnet is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Finalnet go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Finalnet, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Finalnet Non-Aerosol Hair Mist, a sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
The Author's Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author's Studio is brought to you by Daytrill, the new non-aspirin pain reliever from Bristol-Myers.
Pass, ladies and gentlemen, the writer of these words, William Makepeace Thackeray, has no good report to bring you. The regrettable situation in Vanity Fair has not improved. The times still are out of joint. By no means has Miss Matilda Crawley been mollified. Becky failed to soften her, and Rawdon fared no better with his tyrannical aunt. A calamitous order to Becky stands. Pack your trunk and quit my house within the hour, or I shall call the constable. At this moment, Becky is dutifully obeying that order, half-heartedly assisted by Giles.
La, 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 la.
Miss Becky, how can you sing?
What was I asking?
Off your head is more like it.
Oh, aren't we saucy this afternoon?
Don't you care?
Not very much. I quite enjoy your red-headed temper. Oh, careful. Hold my wedding dress tenderly.
You know that ain't what I meant. Don't you care that all is lost?
If all were lost, I should greatly care. All isn't.
Then what would you name what's come to pass?
Oh, a bit of bad luck.
A bit? Is it a bit that Miss Crawley will not have you, nor me, nor Mr. Rawdon in her house no more?
Well, come to think on it, a bit of good luck. Oh, how jolly to live all cozy in Rawdon's flat, never to hear Miss Crawley's bell, fetch, carry, make hot chocolate, read aloud, smooth her sheets and her temper, and best of all, never have to sneak about to be with Rawdon.
Oh, I see. And 'tis a bit of jolly good luck she's vowed she'll not give him tuppence now nor ever. What will you buy victuals and ribbons and pretties with, if I may be so bold to ask?
Oh, you be so bold. By great good fortune, whilst he was away, he won at cards every night. We don't need tuppence from Auntie.
Not now nor ever you'll not need money from her. Is that the way of it?
Oh, leave off, Giles. I don't believe for 1 minute we're banished and disowned forever, unhoused, unkenneled. All that's needed is time for her to miss me, miss her precious nephew, miss, even you. Let her sulk. She's enjoying it now, but she'll not for long. I know her.
So do I. She don't forgive easy.
I didn't say she did. No, no, don't put my music box in the trunk without wrapping it in something soft. Well, are we almost finished packing?
Oh, your trip's not mine, but they'll not take long.
We'll first drive you and the trunks to Rawdon's flat. Then he and I are driving to the Star and Garter to dine and celebrate.
Celebrate what?
Being married, being free of cantankerous Miss Crawley for a while.
Ah.
Oh, Giles, don't be so grumpy. and look forward to this little holiday. Oh, almost I forgot. He's buying me wedding presents. A little gold French watch to wear at my waist. Kid gloves, silk stockings, a bracelet, a ring, and perfumery.
Miss Becky, dinner, presents. A pretty penny they'll cost. You'll squander all the money he won at cards.
Ah, then he shall have to win more, shan't he?
It ain't wise, it ain't. You don't know how long twill have to last. For you don't know when Miss Crawley will have you back, if ever she does.
Captain Roden Crawley of the Horse Guard is still the nephew of wealthy Miss Matilda Crawley. When I talk to shopkeepers, let them know he's her heir. Then, you see, we'll have unbounded credit.
He ain't her heir. Not now he ain't.
The shopkeepers won't know that, will they?
It's a message from Miss Crawley. She don't want us to go.
Could be. Could. No. I'll open. Ah, Mrs. Bute. Miss Sharp. My sister-in-law sends me to learn when you are departing.
She sends you, or your own curiosity sends you?
Unlike some persons I know, I do not tell falsehoods. Mm-hmm. Miss Crawley wishes me to say that the hour allotted you and your servant and your husband almost has run out. When, pray, are you departing?
When, pray, are you departing?
That is none of your affair. Kindly answer the question.
What was it?
When are you quitting this house?
Oh, that. You may tell Miss Crawley we shall be gone from these premises in 10 minutes at the most, 5 at the least. And you may say that should she have need of us, we are dining at the Star and Garter.
Oh, the Star and Garter. Well, I trust you enjoy yourselves carousing in such a place.
And I trust you enjoy your journey back to Queen's Crawley, Mrs. Bute. And enjoy recounting to the Reverend Bute how you have unseated, uprooted, and exiled me. Dear, dear, what an altogether enjoyable time you've had here, and more to come.
Indeed, I have had a most enjoyable time, and more to come.
It is somewhat more than probable that Becky should not, so to speak, have tweaked Mrs. Bute's nose. Miss Crawley may be slow to forgive, the Reverend Mrs. Bute never. Ah, well, she has done her worst, and we shall be rid of her soon. Dear listeners, patience, I shall be with you anon.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrol. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrol has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrol's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrol, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Exit the outcasts from the house in Park Lane. Captain and Mrs. Crawley and Giles. Not half an hour are they gone when Sir Fitz Coach and Ford draw to the curb. My audience will recall, please, that whereas the baronet knows Becky is wed, he does not know to whom and believes her husband has left her. This knowledge has brought him once again to his sister's menage. Mrs. Bute's beady eyes saw the coach arrive, and it is that amiable lady who opens the door to her brother-in-law.
Pitt!
You here? What the devil, Mrs. Bute?
Well, if I use your coarse language, I might well ask what... I shall omit the vulgarity. Are you doing here?
Important business, and don't be blocking the door.
How dare you shove me aside? Use the manners of a wolf.
Close the door and your mouth as well.
How, my dear Bute, a clergyman of the Church of England, could have such a brother as you, I cannot fathom. if you've come to see Matilda, she's exceedingly unwell.
Matilda? Unwell, is she?
It's piteous how ill she is.
Then nurse her back to well yourself.
Precisely what I mean to do.
What's this?
She needs her relations around her. What has happened here would serve to shake stronger nerves than Matilda's. And 'tis my duty to remain with her whilst she is in this critical state.
So, has herself a new nurse, eh? Hey, bless my soul. I'm beholden to you, Martha. Now, where's Becky? Where's her traps? She's coming with me to Queen's Crawley.
Have you not heard the astonishing intelligence regarding her surreptitious union?
So, that's what took Matilda. Found out, did she? Yes, I've heard. No, Becky's married. Told me herself. What's that to me? Makes no odds. Tell her to come down at once and not keep me.
She can't come down.
Can. Will.
Well, she's already down, down and gone. She has left this room.
Gone? Matilda turned her out. By God, this is news. On her way to Queen's Crawley by stagecoach, is she?
Do you know whom she has wed?
Yes, I know.
You know, and I cannot comprehend this. The intelligence nearly killed your sister. Why does it not set you in a fury as well to know Becky is Rawdon's bride?
Rawdon? Becky married you? Don't you lie. Not Rawdon.
You didn't know.
Tell me you lie. Say it.
I do not tell lies. The little viper of a shop is your daughter-in-law.
No! No! My God, I won't have it!
Oh, you have it. 'Tis done.
Where are they? Where did they go?
To Rawdon's flat. Where else?
Damn his soul. I'll kill him, my son or not. I'll kill him. Out of my way, woman.
Oh, Pitt, thou shalt not kill.
By the eternal, I'll throttle the varmint and may his soul roast in hell.
I spared you, dear listener, some of the fury of Sir Pitt's language, which sent shudders through kind Mrs. Bute. Now we must leave the frenzied old baronet as he bursts like a madman from the peaceful house in Dignified Park Lane. Well, I bid you be here on Monday if you would know whither he goes and what he does. Your ever faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
I know we share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This is your cold, dear. You sneeze first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You mean all the colds you give me.
In my house, we've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol. To know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Hey, come on. What are you doing out here in the kitchen? Evie and Fred are opening their presents.
I know. I'll be right back in. Everybody wanted more coffee. Are they getting some funny things?
Oh, some. You know, the usual things. Elaine and Carl gave him a big life preserver.
Don't they have life preservers on these big cruise ships?
Oh, sure. It was just a gag. Miss Perkins gave him some flippers, and Edgar gave him some underwater goggles.
Oh, those things are expensive.
Yeah, I know. I told Miss Perkins just to bring some inexpensive gift.
Uh-huh.
Something that was just silly, but you know Miss Perkins.
Well, no sense of humor, for one thing. Isn't it funny how some people can laugh all the time, yet really have no real sense of humor?
Yeah, I know. It was nice of you to think of giving Fred and Evie a bon voyage party.
Oh, listen, Evie's so excited about going on a cruise.
Well, I wish I could afford to take you on one someday.
Well, sure, listen, Fred and Evie wouldn't be going if his dad hadn't paid for it. Now, come on, the coffee's done. Bring in that tray with the cookies. Come on. Well, here's fresh coffee, everyone. Sorry to take so long, but it didn't perk very fast. Aunt Maggie, want more coffee?
Thank you, dear. Look at the bikini outfit Trudy gave me. Hold it up, baby.
How do you like it?
Is it for a doll?
Yes. Me. I'm a living doll.
Oh, you wouldn't dare go out on a beach wearing that little thing, would you?
Oh,
no, she certainly will not. I'll see to that.
Oh, it's so old-fashioned.
Well, there will certainly be lots of people on shipboard sitting around the pool with a lot less than that on, I'll bet.
Probably, miss. Anybody else more coffee?
Oh, yes. I'll have some, please.
Okay.
Did you bring in more of those heavenly cookies?
Mm-hmm.
I'll bet I've gained 10 pounds. Here,
Evie, show Peg what else you got.
Oh, well, I got a travel diary and a travel clothesline.
Oh, nice.
And now I'm unwrapping my last present.
Oh, good.
Oh, it's a lifeboat, kid.
Well, what's in it?
A whole carton of candy bars.
Oh, you have to share that with your fellow lifeboat survivors.
Evie, share a candy bar with anybody? Oh, she got them starved first.
You think Fred's kidding? He's not. I'm just terrible about candy. And what's this? Vitamins.
Yeah. Bob and I thought you'd need vitamins in the lifeboat.
Oh, I'll distribute the vitamins and keep the candy. Yeah. And here's a waterproof flashlight, a first aid kit, and what's this? Oh, no. Shark repellent.
I want to get the credit. That was my idea.
It was Bob's idea.
Well, personally, I don't think it's all that funny.
Oh, come on, Trudy.
Well, now listen. Those big ships do sink, you know. Remember the Andrea Doria years ago? Remember the Oslo Fjord and the Titanic?
That hit an iceberg back in the Dark Ages, Trudy.
It was hardly back in the Dark Ages. I remember the Titanic.
Oh, I'm sorry, Aunt Maggie.
I was just a little girl, but I certainly remember them talking about the Titanic. Now, that was a terrible thing. Mm. Back in 1912, it was.
All right, Aunt Maggie, forget the Titanic.
Forget the Titanic. It was one of the greatest sea tragedies.
Aunt Maggie, Bob just meant this is a party, you know, for Evie and Fred. They're going on a cruise. Let's not talk about sea disasters.
Well, I didn't bring it up.
Come on, who wants more coffee? Help yourself to the cookies. Come on, dear Fred.
I'm going to pack some of these cookies and put them in my lifeboat emergency kit.
Oh, now, Evie, cut it out.
Well, Trudy was right. Ships do go down.
Evie, you can stay home and slip in the bathtub, too.
Certainly. It's ridiculous to start worrying over nothing.
Oh, Evie always worries about everything.
No, I'm not worrying. I'm going to have a fantastic time, and I'm going to send you all postcards and make you green with envy.
I will be.
Do any of you read the Bermuda Triangle?
Now, Ed,
girl, since 1945, more than 100 planes and ships have just vanished in the thin air.
Oh, Mr. Mooney, Edgar, not really, this is hardly...
No. Edgar's right. I read the Bermuda Triangle, and it scared me half to death.
Trudy.
And, actually, that's what I had in mind when I said ships do go down. So an emergency lifeboat kit may come in darned handy.
Sure.
I didn't read about any Bermuda thing. What was it?
Well, since 1945, more than 100 planes and ships have just vanished into thin air. And more than 1,000 lives have been lost.
Yes, and there's never been a single body found or any piece of wreckage from any of those ships or planes.
That's right. Everything gone. Nothing left. Vanished, kaput.
But I don't understand. Where did they go?
Look, let's talk about Evie and Fred's cruise.
Yes. Oh, boy, do we all envy you. Yes. Now, let's see. You fly down from here tomorrow, don't you? And then pick up the ship in Florida?
No, I want to hear about all these planes and ships that disappeared.
Oh, forget it.
Well, Edgar, really, I don't think this is a time to discuss
things. No. She wants to hear about it. She just said so.
I think we should talk about your cruise, Fred. I want to hear where you're stopping and how long you'll be gone.
Yes, there you'll be sunning yourselves on shipboard while the deck boy brings your lunch and we're up here struggling through the snow. Oh, Evie, you're one lucky girl.
I want to hear about the planes and ships that disappeared. Edgar?
Well, it's a complete mystery. One theory has it that perhaps some beings from outer space whose civilization is further advanced...
And
came...
Right? Yes. I tell you, reading all about it, so scary, I tell you, it's positively frightening.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you wouldn't catch me down there in the Caribbean Triangle. You should read about it.
Fred, I'm not going.
Oh, now, Eve.
I am not going.
What was supposed to be a nice bon voyage party has turned into a battle royal. Evie and Fred and the Den yelling at each other.
Well, they're not yelling now. Evie's crying.
Miss Perkins slamming out of here and Edgar chasing after her.
Miss Perkins was right.
Oh, my secretary is always right. That's what makes her so irritating.
Well, it was her fiancé who was irritating tonight. Miss Perkins was right to lie into them. They were just stupid bringing up the subject of planes and ships that have gone down when somebody's about to take a trip. Which is stupid of Edgar.
Well, I guess I might as well clear out the cups and saucers.
Oh, don't bother with that now, and Maggie, we'll do it later.
I personally did not think you were very nice to your friend Trudy. It's no wonder she went home.
Oh, Trudy always does this. If somebody tells her they're going on a trip, she tells them what they're not going to like about it. When I said I was going with Bob to Mexico on a business trip that I was all excited about, she said to me, oh, you poor thing. You'll be sick as a dog all the time you're there, I was, she said.
Well, if you don't like Trudy, then why did you ask her?
Well, I do like her. It's just that he has some very irritating traits.
Well, I guess none of us are perfect.
No, and you didn't help any tonight either, Aunt Maggie. What? You kept encouraging Edgar to talk about the planes and ships that have gone down in the Caribbean. You should have kept quiet when you saw it was upsetting Evie.
Well,
dear, I have hurt Aunt Maggie's feelings. I certainly don't think you're to blame at all, Aunt Maggie.
Well, the truth of
the
matter is, you're to blame. You're the one who thought it was so cute giving her that emergency lifeboat kit.
You thought it was even funnier giving her the shark repellent. You were laughing so hard you could hardly wrap it up.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's true. These hilarious gags aren't always so funny.
No.
I think you two better go in the den and see how Fred and Evie are making out. Somehow, you better persuade her to go.
Yes, okay, I think so, too. Come on.
I'll start the dish.
Well,
you go on in there.
I'll be
okay.
To help
come on. May we come in, Fred?
Oh, why, sure. Sure. If nothing else, it's your house.
Evie, you're not going to be silly, are you?
Oh.
To worry about a thing like that is ridiculous. Here's your chance to go on a cruise. Dozens of ships go all the time. Everybody has a glorious time. They
really... Just explain to Evie. I read that Bermuda Triangle months ago. And the Triangle area is from Bermuda to the south coast of Florida, over to Puerto Rico and up to Bermuda again. Mm-hmm. Our cruise ship isn't going anywhere near there. We're going west to the Cayman Islands and to Yucatan. I showed it right here on your wall map, you see? This is where we're going, right here.
Well, there you are, Evie. Nothing to worry about.
Well, just the same, I'm going to pack a small self-inflatable raft.
Oh, Evie.
And now I'm going in the living room and pack up our boom voyage.
Yeah, I'll give you a hand.
Okay.
Then I think we better get home and do some packing, don't you?
Too.
Oh, it was a great party.
Thanks.
So.
Sure. Well, let's see them out.
Yeah, Hunter, by the way, what happened to our trip to Mexico? You said we were going in January.
Oh, I know, but the convention was changed from Mexico City to Puerto Rico, and it's going to be held in March. We'll go there then.
Puerto Rico? You mean we're going to be flying through this Bermuda Triangle area? Forget it. I'm not going.
Well, look now. You just told Evie it was ridiculous to worry about this.
No, I'm not going. Not a chance.
Oh.
Oh, yes. I will go, and I'll worry about it from now until we go. Evie?
Yeah?
I know just how you feel. Listen, we're going to be flying through that area.
Hey, Bob. Bob?
Yeah?
You don't think there's anything to worry about, do you? I mean, ships and planes disappearing into thin air.
Oh, no. I hope not.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, Ban Roll-On antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that Ban Roll-On antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of Ban Roll-On, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban Roll-On antiperspirant, proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal. Here's a special invitation to every woman and child who has ever appeared in a Miss Clairol advertisement, print, television, or packaging. Miss Clairol and Woman's Day magazine cordially invite you to join us at a gala reunion to celebrate Miss Clairol's 25th anniversary. All former models, please contact Miss Clairol or Woman's Day at Box 333A, FDR Station, New York, New York, 10022. The search is on for former Miss Clairol models. The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
To have and to hold. To have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way.
I'm not taking you away from anything important, Jason.
No, Morris, there's nothing on my desk, but I do have to talk to you about Emily.
What? What is it? Wait a minute, the light's changing.
Yeah.
The jewelry store's in the next block.
Morris, Emily had a serious attack last night.
What? What happened?
Well, we were out at River Run for dinner, and suddenly she collapsed.
Well, Jason, how is she now? Why didn't you call me?
Well, she's a little shaky. There wasn't anything you could do anyway. I gave her a sedative, and we went home early.
Oh. Well, I suppose something like that can happen to her at any time. Okay, here we are. They said the engraving would be finished today.
Can I help you?
Oh, yes, please, miss. I'm picking up a bracelet I purchased. You were doing some engraving.
Your name, please?
Marshall Foster.
I'll be right back.
You know, Jason, it's particularly difficult with someone as active and young as Emily. When you're older, you have... Well, you know what I mean.
Yes, I know. Morris, do you think I should get someone to stay with her?
Well, it depends on how she wants to handle it. Right now, getting her a practical nurse might be an alarming thing to her.
Yes, I guess it would.
Maybe Angela...
Well, I've been thinking of that.
Well, right now, Angela's just coming out of the effects of the shock she's had.
Yeah, but let me talk to Emily about it.
Yeah.
Here it is, Dr. Foster.
Oh, thank you.
Shall I gift wrap it?
Just the box, please. Jason?
Mm-hmm.
How do you like it?
Oh, that's very nice, Marsh.
I think Ginger will be surprised. She's been wanting a gold bracelet.
Mm. Emily's birthday is in the summer.
Well, getting late. We better get back to the hospital.
Hello, Marsh. Have some messages for you.
Oh, thank you, Angela. Well, they can wait a bit. Could I see you in my office?
Well, of course.
Thank you. Well, I'm glad to see you back on days again, Angela.
Oh, I found that working nights wasn't helping me to sleep any better.
Well, at least I get a chance to see you.
Marsh, I know I've been imposing on you.
I haven't noticed that.
These last weeks, if it weren't for you, I don't know how I could have made it.
Well, I'm sorry it's been so hard on you, but I'm glad I could help. Look, are you busy tomorrow night?
Well, no, I'm not.
Have dinner with me.
Oh, my.
No, really, as a favor. You see, I have a late conference anyway, and Ginger and Betsy are going to the high school play.
All right, then. You're sure Ginger...
Oh, everything should be all right at home. I'm giving Ginger that bracelet you helped me pick out, remember?
Oh, yes, that's right. I'm sure Ginger's going to like it.
I'm a homemaker, and I work part-time, too, so I get my share of headaches. But I don't take aspirin. It can irritate my stomach. So I've used Tylenol. It's easier on my stomach. Then I learned about Daytrile. I compared labels and couldn't find any difference. Daytrile has the same pain reliever, no aspirin. Daytrile's just as effective as Tylenol. So now I compare prices and buy the one that costs less. Why spend more?
Daytrile, from Bristol-Myers. Ask your doctor about it.
I'd always share everything, hon, but next time, could you keep your cold to yourself?
This was your cold day. You sneezed first.
You were sniffling before that. Think of the money we spend on nasal sprays.
That's why I bought four-way nasal spray today. It can cost a lot less than the leading brand, a lot less.
Yeah?
And you can't buy faster decongestant relief than four-way. Here, just follow the directions.
Hey, that's a blast.
I know. I bought four-way for me, too. And think how much we'll save on four-way with all the colds you get.
You beat all the colds you give me.
Jennifer, be home in time for dinner, honey.
Jason will be home any minute now. Maybe I can get a few pages written. It's been 3 weeks now since Jason told me about the brain tumor. I guess I still don't believe it. I know what the words mean, and even as I write this, I still cannot believe they mean that something frightening is happening to me. A process is taking place over which I have no control. I've meant to go to the library to look up chordoma, but for some reason I keep putting it off. Maybe I don't want to know. Jason and Marsh have been good when I ask them what will happen to me as it gets worse. I wonder if they know more than they're telling me. They think I'm not strong enough to know the worst. If so, they may be right. Someone said that people are more afraid of dying than they are of death. Oh, I better lock this up.
Hi, darling. I thought you might be upstairs resting.
I took a nap earlier, dear.
Oh. Where's the pumpkins?
Jennifer's over at Mrs. Bailey's, putting in her bid for the next kitten.
Oh. Will she have long to wait?
No. Mrs. Bailey says Trudy will...
Trudy?
Well, Trudy, the cat, is looking very expectant.
Oh. Well, I hope you told Mrs. Bailey that we'd like a male kitten.
No, I didn't. I thought I'd let Jennifer decide.
Oh. How are you feeling?
All right.
No effects? You sure?
Yes. Jason,
mm-hmm.
Do you know what caused that last night?
Well, darling, your nerves were affected and you just lost muscular control.
And it will happen again?
It may. Probably will.
I'll have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you should be alone here during the day?
Oh. Jason, I just can't bear the thought of having, well, a nurse with me all the time.
Well, maybe we can make some kind of an arrangement with Angela.
Ask her to give up her life to take care of me?
Well, darling, we don't have to decide now. But we should think about it.
Sure I can't fix you a drink, Ginger?
No, thank you, Marsh.
Anything the matter?
Why do you ask?
I don't know. The last few days, you've been so quiet.
Is that so strange?
Well, yes. Usually, if something is bothering you, you come right out with it.
Why should something be bothering me?
All right, what is it now? Are we going to play the game of Guess My Gripe?
It's a great joke, isn't it?
I wish it were. I could stand a laugh.
I'd say that's exactly what you have been having at my expense.
Oh, Ginger.
Here. I got these at the jewelers the other day.
What? Oh, the cufflinks you gave me for Christmas.
darling, you had them engraved. Oh, they look great, honey.
Look at the box.
Parsons Jewelry Store. Yes, I know the place.
I know you do.
I think I see now.
Do you still wonder what's bothering me?
Not anymore.
How could you, Marsh?
All right, you saw me and Angela Fairchild there.
At least you admit it.
Why shouldn't I? I asked her to help me pick out something for you.
Oh, I can just imagine that. Oh, Marsh, can't you come up with a better story than that?
No, I can't, because it's the truth. I wanted to get a bracelet for you for your birthday.
I don't believe it.
It's true. Here it is. I was saving it for Sunday.
I'll just bet you were.
Ginger, here's the bracelet.
When were you going to give it to her?
Ginger, look at it, please.
It's a lovely bracelet. Just what I've always wanted.
Please read the inscription.
Inscription?
Engraved inside.
To Ginger from Marsh. Happy birthday. February 1st, 1976. Oh, Marsh, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm so sorry.
It's all right, it's all right. Considering everything, I suppose it was natural for you to think that.
Marsh, I'll never be jealous again. I promise you.
You mean until the next time?
No. No. The bracelet will remind me of just how wrong I was. If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color, and it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now, except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
And to Hold has been brought to you by Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.